Now, contrary to what many think, the financial system isn't collapsing. It's actually being rebuilt for continuity inside a new digital financial enclosure. Now, the old system was based around easy credit expansion. It was a little like a tab running at a bar, which was then backed by trust, reputation, and promises. But that trust that has kept that post-1971 system afloat is really near exhausted. So the system is shifting to one, which is a little like a members club, where wealth must be verified and valued in real time to allow permissioned access. So this makes credit or new money creation more conditional. And this is the source of much of the stress that we actually see in the markets right now. Now, this video considers 7 rules for building wealth that the new financial system will find far harder to actually break. However, the first thing to really understand is that the game is changing, and what worked within the old financial system just won't work within the new one. Gone are the days of easy credit, long-dated promises, and just general asset price rises alongside passive ownership of assets. Increasingly, liquidity, that is purchasing power, will become harder within this new system. Now, in this new system, it's not so much about how much wealth one person has, but instead it's about what wealth will still work when the system gets stricter and more conditioned. So the first rule is really to ensure that you never let someone else determine your selling price. I think the biggest danger with this financial shift is about being forced to have to act, forced into a sale. As I've explained before, volatility is supportive of this whole transition. It helps the system to actually understand what assets can actually be fulfilled in stress and what assets can't. Whether a promise can actually be fulfilled, or like whether a bank can handle withdrawals, or whether a fund can actually handle redemptions. So volatility isn't random noise. It's actually about how the system is testing which claims are real and which claims just break under that pressure. But the crucial point then really becomes that if you don't have any savings reserves, any liquidity which backs you up, then you don't choose when to actually sell, and that's a problem. So the second rule to understand is to avoid wealth that needs constant refinancing. Now, the old system made leverage look intelligent, where you could borrow for properties and investments and asset prices would actually rise and you'd get levered returns. But that was all fine in an era where rates were falling and refinancing was easy. But trust is, of course, shortening, and we're seeing that within the marketplace right now. Long-term bonds are being repriced while demand for short-term debt actually remains robust. This divergence is a real signal of the systemic change that's actually underway. So you don't want to be dependent upon continual refinancing. That is really key in an environment of tougher liquidity. Now, new remortgage products are also being tested that are compliant with this new digital system. These products will have real-time 24/7 valuations of the underlying asset, that is the property, together with smart contracts. The danger is that such digital debt products could then actually turn those assets into permissioned access, and that concerns me. Third rule, own some assets that the system will still recognize. Now, the new system intends to be able to see much of the actual asset base of the economy. It's a digital visible system, and it will therefore prioritize assets that are free of other debt claims. So they're clean, they can be verified in real time, and they can be made into digital tokens, which can be used to actually settle transactions and to ensure that the asset and the money exchange at the same point in time via atomic settlement. But of course, there's an obvious warning here, and that is from the system's perspective, it will attach a premium to assets that it recognizes, while non-compliant assets will suffer an effective illiquidity discount. They'll be harder to actually sell, harder to use in the new economic system they're building here. Having said that, of course, you don't need and you don't want all of your wealth inside the system, and you should absolutely keep some separate. But you do need some wealth that the system recognizes so that you can transact within the formal economy and when you need that liquidity. System compliant assets, of course, cash, bank deposits, or even some equities. But personally, I would resist tokenizing personal assets such as my home, land, gold, and the like. So it's worth just considering if you need to remortgage in the coming years, and this concept of tokenization does bother you, then you need to check the terms and conditions of those mortgage products. Four, don't confuse hard assets with resilient assets. So of course, you want to have some allocation to gold, silver, possibly, if you're that way inclined, Bitcoin, crypto, land, tools, energy, all will matter. But hard assets can still be fragile if they're illiquid or if they're over leveraged, hard to sell, badly stored, politically exposed, or dependent upon just one buyer. Gold requires an exchange route, of course. Land can be heavily taxed. Other assets are made deliberately volatile, as we know. So whatever useful assets you own, make sure you have a means of actually ensuring their real world use, really. Our fifth rule is build productive capacity, not just stored value. So stored value, such as gold, of course, protects what you have already earned. Productive capacity protects your ability to actually keep earning while the system actually changes. You need that income, of course. But the system itself cannot easily replace competence and the relearning of skills that were once long lost. And they are starting to become rekindled. And that's obviously great to see. And this is where we have the real opportunity to be the best that we can be and reduce permission dependence in this new system. So we need to actually work towards creating the change that we want to see, really. And perhaps the strongest wealth is really about increasing our willingness to actually act, to reduce our dependence on the system, to learn, empower others and ourselves and future generations. That's our opportunity. Six, real diversification. Now, by real diversification here, I don't simply mean stocks, bonds, property, gold, crypto, and the like. Instead, I'm really talking about reducing dependence on one sole entity, whether that be the same bank, broker, currency, employer, country, and so on. So this then requires consideration of single points of failure that we actually have and are exposed to. And if we can actually reduce our vulnerability to sudden system stress, well, I think that's a good idea. So I think it's worth asking the question, what and where does our wealth actually depend upon there? Finally, watch the signals that tell you which wealth is actually being selected. Now, the system is telling us in real time what assets it values. We've seen gold be selected, and now it appears to have done its first job. It's in a post-digestion phase now, where capital is now being rotated towards productive capacity, really. T-bills are stable while long bonds have been cracking. Semiconductors, of course, have been outperforming, while credit is fragile and unsurprisingly, within all of this, housing transaction volume has fallen. So this is all really about directed expansion. It's almost akin to central planning, building the new and rather dystopian economy of tomorrow. So therefore, if you're watching the markets, you've got to watch what's funded, recognized, and what is actually being protected. That's key, I think. So the overall takeaways from this, really, the new financial isn't going to break every form of wealth, but it does become a permissioned environment. It exposes vulnerabilities such as that need for permanent refinancing and dependence upon asset price growth. Now, we don't need fear here. We've got to actually stand up and actually act to reduce our dependence on the system and ensure that we actually reduce our debt and are truly diversified and can remain flexible in the face of all of this change. Now, I hope that's been insightful. Of course, there's plenty more of my work that you can find on my Substack. And if you want to really get into detail about all the system changes and the market moves that we're seeing, well, that's all on my website. Now, thanks ever so much for being here, and I look forward to seeing you next time. Bye-bye.